Psalm 119, beginning in verse 145, the psalmist says, I cried with my whole heart, Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning, the old King James, I preceded the dawning. He was up before dawn to seek the Lord of the morning, and I cried. I hoped in thy word. My eyes, a little bit of a different word, prevented anticipating the night watches. I stayed up after dark that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Yet do I not declare, I do not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts, and quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Because thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So this psalmist, this singer at this point in these verses, crying out to God to be his advocate. Verse 154, plead my cause, legal terms. Lord, you be my advocate in these things. And this is a heart cry. And he says it. I've cried, verses 145, 146, 147, 148. I've cried with my whole heart, Lord. I'm crying out to you. And this psalmist is saying those things in remembrance. Those things are in the past tense. Lord, in the past, I have cried with my whole heart, Lord. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I have cried unto thee. Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies, Lord. I have preceded the dawning of the morning. Lord, I got up before dawn to seek you, and I cried because I hoped in your word. My eyes have preceded or anticipated the night watch. I stayed up, Lord, into the night that I might meditate in thy word. And then verse 149, he comes to the present. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. And we're going to see this word, quicken me, four times this morning. She used nine times in the entire psalm, but in these verses today, we'll find it four times. Certainly, this is where it's concentrated. And there is a cry to God, quicken me, quicken me. Your translation may say, preserve me, but it's broader than that. It isn't just in the sense of preserving, but it's in the sense of preserving by adding divine supply, by adding life. Quicken, make me alive, Lord. Add that which is supernatural to me in the circumstances that I'm crying out to you. Because my heart is broken, I'm overwhelmed, I need something from heaven that will keep me and sustain me and enlarge me and give me the strength to go on. And Lord, you are my advocate in these things. So over and over, we're going to hear him crying, quicken me. He says, Lord, I've sought you in the past. And he knows God's faithfulness, both from his word and from experience. You know, this psalm and the psalms to me are a great book of emotion, and they speak to us of God's word on the horizontal and God's word on the vertical. You know, we can study God's word, we can have our own systematic theology, we can memorize scripture, we can do all of those things, but Jesus said, you know, you search the scripture because in them you think you have life, but these are they that testify of me. I think of a father, how I would feel if my children just studied the book that I gave them and never realized that book was pointing them to me. So the scripture provides for us, yes, the truth of God that is unchanging, it's eternal, it's supernatural. But because it is, then it directs us to the vertical of God's word, where we lift our heads and we cry out, and there's objective and subjective experience, there's reality. And this psalmist is saying, Lord, in the past, I've cried to you. You've been faithful. And now, Lord, I'll keep your statutes. He's not saying, I'll be good so you bless me. He's saying, Lord, I've cried because I know your word is true and I keep your word. And it's because of that very thing that I have cried and discovered your faithfulness. I've cried unto thee, save me, physically, eternally, spiritually, emotionally. Save me, Lord, deliver me. I shall keep thy testimonies. I preceded the dawning of the morning. Lord, I rose up early before it was light. And that's easier for me to do in the summer. I'm light sensitive. In the summertime, if I wake up, it's 5 o'clock, the sun's up, no biggie, I can get out of bed. It's warm and it's light. But in the winter, that alarm goes off at 5. It's cold, it's dark, it's warm in bed. When I put the alarm far enough away that I have to get out of bed and go to it to hit the snooze button to jump back in again, you know. Desperation. Alan Redpath said again, he prayed and asked God for blanket victory. That was that God would help him get out from under the blanket. And you know, when things are desperate, we pray desperate prayers. When things are desperate, we can get up and get on our knees. Down here in 153, it's very personal. He speaks of mine affliction, all personal pronouns. Verse 154, my cause. Verse 157, my persecutors, my enemies. This is something he's experiencing, and he's in great difficulty. And he says, Lord, I've gotten up early. I've sought you. You know, it's interesting, as we study the life of Jesus, we see him, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, getting up a great while before dawn and going to a lonely place to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, as the disciples beheld him praying, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the grammar is very interesting. It isn't, Lord, teach us how to pray. We know how to pray. I already know how to pray. It's, Lord, teach us to be prayers. Lord, make us praying men, is what they said. Supply, Lord, that which is divine to us. You know, we have memorized prayers. You know, the nation of Israel had specific prayers for weddings and for funerals, for births, for certain days of the week, for certain feasts. But when they watched Christ, something was very real. It wasn't traditional as he prayed. It wasn't just habit. It wasn't just ritual. They saw him pleading. They saw him being real. And they watched him. And as he came back, they said, Lord, make us to be praying people, Lord. Make that happen in our lives. Because Lord knows we're inclined to sleep. That's what the disciples did all the time when something great was going on. They slept. He always had to come back and wake them up. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Mount of Transfiguration. They wake up, Moses and Elijah are already there having a conversation with Jesus. Imagine the blessings they slept through. This psalmist says, Lord, I rose early. You know, if Christ needed to pray, obviously, how much more do we? And I don't think Jesus, in his prayer life with his Father, it wasn't duty. It was love, it was privilege, it was relationship. Something much deeper than duty drew him. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, well, I had my morning devotions. No, that wasn't what it was at all. He said, I don't do anything unless the Father does it. I don't say anything unless the Father says it. That the Father was known of him all the time. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He walked in the presence of God, demonstrated the presence of God, was the presence of God. And I don't think that the Lord ever charges us with presumption when we seek Him with all of our hearts. He doesn't say, "I can't believe you're asking me that." I think rather that He charges us sometimes when we come to Him and we ask so little, when we're satisfied with droplets, when He wants to have a river pouring forth, when we're satisfied with an inch, when He longs to give us a mile, when we're satisfied with getting by, when He wants us to live in power and victory. And this psalmist said, "Lord, I cried unto You with my whole heart. I've sought You. Lord, I got up early before the sun rose." Proverbs chapter 8:17, the Lord says, "I love those that love Me, and those that seek Me early shall find Me." I got up early, Lord, I sought You. And then I stayed up, Lord, after it was dark, I stayed up meditating on Your Word, looking into the pages of it, Lord, knowing that it's true. I hoped in the things of Your Word. I looked there because I know Your faithfulness and I know Your power, Lord, because I have sought You at times in my life and I have been before You. And Lord, You always have been faithful. So now, Lord, verse 149, now, Lord, presently, today, hear My voice. According unto Thy loving kindness, Lord, quicken me according to Thy judgment. Hear My voice. Very remarkable request. Hear My voice. There are over 6 billion human beings on this planet. And this text says, "Lord, hear My voice." A little bit selfish there, huh? You know, it's interesting when we come particularly to a communion service and the sanctuary is crowded and we pray in the back to hear the rumble and the chatter of several thousand people, you know, and you think it just sounds like a roar kind of. And to think that the Lord can hear every one of those voices individually, that He can distinguish what is indistinguishable to us. You know, it's like a parent. If you go somewhere with your kids or on vacation or relative's house and you get all the kids are playing in the basement or the yard somewhere and one of them gets poked in the eye or smashes their head on something or skins their knee. That mom knows that scream from all of the other noises. That one's mine. I know that. You know, there's a difference between when they cry because they want food or nothing ain't no refrigerator. You know, there's different whining and crying, but there is a cry that is a cry of pain and desperation. And every parent can distinguish that from all of the other voices in the yard at that moment or in the basement. You hear it. Uh-oh, that's mine. You see the right mom goes running immediately. Hear My voice, Lord. You can distinguish mine from 6 billion people on this planet. You know, and the remarkable thing, of course, is He makes intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. He can pray for us individually, too. The many facets of God. It's hard for us to understand that. Not, you know, with 6 billion people on the planet, that our name can be upon His lips. And that as He hears, He can hear our voice and distinguish it from millions of other voices. Hear My voice, O Lord. Hear My voice. According to Thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me. Add divine supply, Lord. Make me alive. Preserve me in this. The reason? Look at verse 150 and 151. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. Now, they're far from Your law. But Thou, Lord, in contrast, art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are truth. He does an interesting thing here. He says, Lord, my adversaries, my enemies, they are drawing near. It's a verb form. Trouble is drawing near. And Lord, they don't care about Your word. They are far from Thy law, Lord. They're drawing near that follow after mischief. But when he comes to verse 151, you'll notice, if you have a King James, the word art is in italics. Thou art near. It explains what it means. That's why it's inserted. Because they draw near is a verb. Thou near. Near is an adjective. It defines thou. It's not a verb. And what he's saying is, they are drawing near. You, by your nature, Lord, are near. That defines who you are. You are near. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. I get down to hell, you're there. If I go the farthest reaches of the morning, Lord, you're there. That it is impossible to escape the presence of God. And he's acknowledging that. Lord, trouble is drawing near. Mischief. My adversaries. My difficulties. But you are present. That's just drawing near. You are near. And sometimes we forget that. People will come up and say, you know, I've been backslid. I'm trying to figure out how to get back to God. Like there's a map. Get back to him. He fills the universe. It's in him we live and we breathe and we have our being. What do you mean, get back to him? Well, I don't sense his presence. Well, that's because he's standing right next to you, not wanting you to sense his presence. That's where he is. He's right there. This is written in the Bible. You sensing it makes it real. He wants you by faith to know that he's right there. And some people do that. They come to church, you know. We think of Jacob fleeing, conniving, stealing the birthright. Esau's after him to kill him. He comes to Bethel. He's so tired. He crashes, puts his head on a rock. And in his dream, he sees heaven open and a stairway leading to God and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the stairway. And he wakes up and he says, God was in this place. No, he was back there, Jacob, when you were fooling your old dad and when you were conniving. No, he says, God is in this place. And I knew it not. He names it Bethel, the house of God, because he thinks that he fell asleep right on the bottom step of the stairway to heaven. Ha! Of all the places I could have fallen asleep, I put my pillow here. I'm lucky the angels didn't step on my head. Then he says to God, when I come back to this place, I'll make you a deal. He's still making deals. And of course, that's ridiculous. But Christians do that sometimes. I've been backslidden. I've been away from the Lord. I don't deserve anything. I'm going to go to church anyway. And when God pours out his blessing on everybody else, some of it will spill over on me. So I'll steal it and get out of there before he realizes it. No, he's with you when you leave. When you're alone. In the park, the highway, at work. Mischief is drawing near, but you, Lord, that's who you are. You are near. It's your very being. And all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Lord, your word is forever. It never changes. It's been around way longer than the Jesus seminar. I like that. These guys that are cutting and pasting in the Bible, telling us what Jesus said and what he really didn't say. Professors. Romans says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Your word is the same forever. What great consolation when we're ready to make our step into eternity, when we step out of this world into the next world, when we are ready to breathe our last and step through the door. First of all, I believe the most precious memories will be the times that we have spent alone with him, seeking his face and discovering his presence. You know, you can't make a withdrawal on an account you haven't made a deposit in. And the wonderful thing is that this psalmist is saying, Lord, in the past, I've sought you. I've cried out to you. You've been faithful. I got up early before the dawn of the day and I discovered you. I stayed up late meditating upon your word. Now today, Lord, when I'm in trouble again, quicken thou me. Hear my voice. And because he's made enough deposits in the bank of prayer, he's able to make a withdrawal at this point. Lord, I know you'll do this again. Hear my voice again, Lord. I'm crying out to you again. And what a wonderful thing when we're ready, finally, anyone in this room or all of us, to step through into eternity at that minute to know, I've known you, Lord. I have fellowshipped with you. I've experienced your love and your faithfulness, and your word never changes. It's established forever. And what that means is I'm ready to step into the light. I'm ready to close my eyes in this world and open them in the next, Lord. What a remarkable consolation. How sweet to experience that on the borders of eternity. He cries out, consider mine affliction, my cause, verse 154, 157, my persecutors, my enemies. Lord, I have all of these things cooking. But as you read through this history, he mentions thy law, thy word, thy statutes, thy tender mercies, thy judgments, thy testimonies, thy word, thy precepts, thy loving kindness, thy word, thy righteous judgments. You know, Lord, in all of this struggle and all of this pain and all of this difficulty with adversaries, and we all have adversaries, we're all to a level in spiritual warfare to some degree. We're told to put on the armor of God. There's war against our thoughts and war against our intents. And of course, then there's physical war. People betray us, or there's backbiting, or, you know, we all struggle in this world of men and of fallen spirits. And he says, Lord, verse 154, quicken me. Verse 156, quicken me. Verse 159, quicken me. It's on the basis of verse 154, plead my cause. Lord, you be my advocate. My advocate, my lawyer, legal terms. Lord, you be my lawyer. Tells us again in Hebrews that he ever liveth, he's the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives and makes intercession for the saints, that he is pleading our cause. 1 John chapter 2 tells us, dear children, I write unto you this, that no man sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a court attorney. The district attorney over the whole district is ours. Isaiah says his name is Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. But Wonderful Counselor, that's not the kind of counseling, oh, I need counseling. Well, we all need counseling. We're all adult children of sinning parents. We're all part of the same support group. Wonderful Counselor is Wonderful Lawyer. Those are not words we put together all the time in this world. And there's some wonderful lawyers that come to our church, don't get me wrong. But normally when you're in a situation where you're having to use a lawyer, many times by then, there's strain and there's pain and there's struggle and there's heartache, and we don't usually walk around saying wonderful lawyer. We're saying, can I pay you off for the next 50 years? Merciful lawyer. Unless they make a settlement and write us a check for $1 million, we go, oh, wonderful lawyer. That's a great lawyer. Man. Plead my cause. Be my advocate. And then what the scripture tells us, in fact, that he is. Not only that, interestingly, he pleads without and he pleads within. It tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercessions with groanings that are too deep to be uttered and articulated. That God works without on our behalf and he works within. That he's not only the flame, but he's also the oil that's in the lamp. He's our advocate within and without. That he adds the divine to our difficulty. He even says to the house of Israel in Zechariah 12, the day is coming when I will pour out upon the house of Israel, upon the house of Judah, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And we're saying, Lord, make me pray. Quicken me. Make me alive in these things. Add divine life. Lord, I'm bummed out. I want to do the wrong thing. I want to strangle somebody. I want to get mad. I want to be bummed out. I want to sulk. I want to be depressed. I want to get even. But Lord, I've cried to you in the past. You've been faithful. I've sought you early before it gets light. I've sought you late. You've been there. So today, Lord, hear my voice. Quicken thou me according to thy judgments. And then he says here, Lord, quicken me according to thy word first. Your word promises so many things, Lord. Quicken me according to your word. How many of us have been in a desperate, heartbroken situation, and we've been paging through the scripture, maybe staying up late meditating, it says, and all of a sudden, a verse, a text will rise off the page and come to life, and tears begin to flow, and God's word becomes alive to us. Quicken me according to thy word, O Lord. Then quicken me according to thy judgments. Those are God's specific instructions in regards to specific things. There are times when we're in trouble and we need direction. And we know then God's word says, if you will do this, if you will walk in this way, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, then he will direct your paths. I'm a wife, Lord, what should I do? Well, this is what my word says about what you should do. Oh, Lord, if I do that, you don't know this guy I'm married to. Yeah, I knew him before the foundation of the world. That's why I wrote the book. This wife, Lord, you gave me. I want you to love her this way. Lord, if I do that, so no. There is also quickening when we step into obedience. There's quickening according to his word, quickening his divine supply. But quickening, you know, when that word comes to life to us, then we're able to step into its pages and step into obedience in regards to forgiveness and bitterness and anger and lust and selfishness and, you know, our nature. Lord, add the divine to this. I know what it says, and there's life-giving experience in his judgments to step into it. And lastly, in 159, he says, Lord, quicken me according to thy loving kindness, according to your grace. Ultimately, it's all that, Lord. Add life to me. You know, with this many people in one place, I'm sure there are a lot of broken hearts here this morning. There are some here that feel, you know what, Lord, I've been crying out in your, where are you? This is what I get for serving you. I tell other people for years that you're a God of love and you allow this to happen in my life. I have my relatives saying to me now, this is the God of love you serve and this is going on in your life. But we can say, Lord, hear my voice. You've heard it before. You've heard it before when I've cried with all of my heart. When I've sought you early before the day dawns, Lord, when I've stayed up late because I've got ulcers and my stomach's churning and I can't sleep and I'm meditating on your word and I'm looking for answers and I'm looking for life. Today, Lord, hear my voice. Quicken thou me, O Lord, according to thy judgments. Because adversity is drawing near, Lord. There's activity. But you need not draw near, Lord. You are near. You never leave us or forsake us. You're there. My problem, Lord, is I need the divine added to that. It has to be real to me now. It can't just be precept. It can't just be my systematic theology, Lord. My pain is real. My difficulties, my adversaries are real, Lord. Be real. Quicken, God. Because your word is established forever. I know it never changes. Plead my cause. Be my advocate. Quicken me, Lord, according to your word. Quicken me according to your instruction. Quicken me according to your grace. Because from the beginning, verse 160, your word is true and all of your righteous judgments are forever. I know that I can trust you. I don't believe that God puts it there to frustrate us. It's not just there for me to preach. And I'm not preaching to the choir. Believe me, in my own life, I'm crying out to the Lord for things. It's not written there just to be in print and for us to walk out of here broken and say, where are you, Lord? Oh, yeah, that's what your words are. Oh, great, Lord, but here I am, broken, crushed. I feel forsaken, where are you? No, I believe it's written here so that as we end the service, that we can lift our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, that is your word. I have cried to you before, Lord. You have always been faithful, and I know you're faithful now. I don't understand, Lord. I don't understand how these things go together, because I feel like I'm forsaken, and my spirit is crushed, and I don't know how to reconcile this with your love, Lord, but you are faithful. So hear my voice today. Hear my voice today, Lord. And quicken me, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me over and over again. Add divine life to my present circumstance, Lord. Preserve me, save me, lift me up above the waves. I'm drowning. Lord, do it according to your word, according to your instruction, according to your grace. You never change. Your word abides forever. It's been there. It predated the dawn of anything known of man, and it will never change into eternity. Your righteous judgments, Lord, are forever.